Well, good morning. So many of you I'll see in a few minutes, but so good to see your faces. So great to be here. I do have a video. I try to have a video every time we come here just to give you guys some AV stuff to look at and to see what's happening. I'm not sure if it's... The guy in the back is amazing. That guy with the glasses, Bob Dobbs. Great kids, too, by the way. So, not sure how we're... Yeah, I don't know. No, not yet. No. We're going to talk about missions today. It's going to be a little bit light today. We're not going to talk... We are going to get into the Word, of course. Important. That's why we're here. We're here to hear from the Word of God, hear what the Lord has for us. But we also want to talk missions. So many of you have been on the mission field, either long-term or short-term, and have had that taste of what's out there and the needs of the world for the gospel. I happen to, by the grace of God, have been planted in a place that is very, very barren of churches. In fact, as you'll see from the video, the area of the world called the Balkans has 12 countries within it. And of those 12 countries, 8 of them have an evangelical population of less than one half of 1%. Now, and I'm not saying anything against China. I think China is a nice place and it needs missionaries. But everybody says, oh, you got to be a missionary to China. Well, 10% of the billion plus people in China are born again Christians. So that they're doing a good work. Praise the Lord for all of the missionaries. In fact, Greater Grace World Outreach has some tremendous missionaries out there, even some Albanians serving in China. But when you look at the Balkans, it's a very unreached people group. Less than one half of 1% of the population is born again in 8 of the 12 countries, one of them being Albania. Albania is just now finally approaching that 0.5% category. Pakistan, Kuwait, Lebanon, these countries have a higher percentage of born-again Christians than the 8 of the 12 Balkan countries. It's really amazing that when the Soviet Union fell apart, Yugoslavia didn't disband quite so easily, quite so simply. If any of you know the history of the 1990s of the breakup of Yugoslavia, it was very ugly. A lot of blood, a lot of war, genocide even. And missionaries were going to Russia and Hungary and Ukraine and these other former communist countries, but Yugoslavia and the rest of the Balkans still were neglected because of the instability. And the instability really didn't stop until the mid-90s. But afterward, still, there wasn't much of a response to the Balkan area. So I would ask you to pray for the Balkans. And I'll tell you, in this room right now, you have some of the best evangelists I've ever seen. Remo and Dennis, Michelle, my sister went to Bosnia, Michelle. Unbelievable that we had Michelle with us. But these guys, I consider myself a facilitator. I'm not really... I just watch. I make sure that the hotels are reserved and the buses are on time. But it's the people that I'm with that are really the saints of God, the ones who are really the soldiers. And to watch Remo and Dennis on the streets of Sarajevo and Ulcin, it was really an honor just to be in their presence. Honestly, I mean, it's just tremendous. And many of you others have been out on mission trips with us. I know that the Gattos have been out and the Hewletts and Veronica. I mean, I shouldn't start because I'll miss everybody because so many have been out. Ellen in Bulgaria. Where is that? Did Ellen come to church today? She probably didn't come to church today. No, did she? Okay, that's good. No. My sister Ellen, I'm sure she's at church. So we're going to show you a little video of the work that actually the church, what we call Kisha Biblaflet, which in Albanian means the Bible speaks, the old-time name of Greater Grace World Outreach before we moved to Baltimore. But they retain that name in many of the churches in Europe. So Kisha Biblaflet, which is the church that I've been pastoring for the last 10 years, is really the Bible speaks. And that little church in Albania has been to many, even most of the Balkan countries. I mean, that's pretty, it's pretty impressive what the men of the Church of Kisha Blibleflet have done. We have some great leaders now in the church, and please pray for them. The transition of the power and authority of the, you know, they're just the stuff of the church is now being done by them. But as I watch this and I consider even the song that's in that in Ezekiel when it talks about the Valley of Dry Bones and how it is a restoration chapter concerning Israel. And we've seen that. We've seen Israel go from a country that has been persecuted for millennia and even the Holocaust, Satan's last try to destroy an entire people group. Now they are back in their country. Now they are prospering. Now they are a very strong democracy in the Middle East. And I thank God that my mom was able to go to Israel this past year. I spoke with Rita, who went with you, and she said it was one of the best groups she's ever brought to Israel. And so now we see that Israel is back in their home country. And there is really little left for the Lord to do before he returns to take us home. And we pray that it's soon and very soon that the Lord would come quickly. But while we're still here on the earth, it's important for us to still be witnesses in teaching all nations. And the Balkans are an area where God has placed my heart. And really, if you know me, or even if you know you, the Balkans are, who knows where the Balkans are? We had no idea when we first were called to the Balkans, even where on the planet they were, what the Balkans were. The word Balkan is really from the peninsula that stretches from the top of the Adriatic to the top of the Black Sea. So there's a peninsula that comes down from that area called the Balkans, and that's where these 12 countries exist. But we had no idea where it was. But now that the Lord has called us there, and now that we have served there in Albania and seen these other people groups in these other regions, we know that our heart is there. Pastor Moore was, we don't even know, actually, we haven't definitively decided what we're going to do for lunch. I know Pastor Moore has tried to get dibs on us. I may have to, I have just people that I may have to put you, push you for, but I don't know. But we really don't know what's going to happen with our lives. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about that. But let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, because we're here to read the Bible. I was going to have Dennis read for me, but everything kind of got changed. We try to read from the scriptures each Sunday at the church there because some of the people, they just don't have the capacity right now to read a lot of their Bible. So I try to give them a passage each Sunday morning. And the passage that I was considering today as I was drinking some great coffee at the Gatos was Matthew 16. I don't like to say I get a coffee anointing, but it certainly does clear the cobwebs out of the head in the morning. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 21. Now, I don't really want to read all the way to 28 because it's very convicting. And we don't really want to be convicted so much. This whole take up your cross and die to yourself and hate your parents and all of this stuff, we don't like reading that. But it's in there, and it's in there in a lot of places. So we're going to have to deal with those things, aren't we? But the personal cross that God has given every one of us is the right size. We can carry it. It's not his cross. There was only one of those. And that cross he took to Calvary. And even he had some help, right, with Joseph of Arimathea when it came to the physical, the literal piece of wood. But when it came to the cross of Christ, no one can carry that but him. And he did. And really, nobody can carry our cross unless Christ is carrying it for us. But he has given us as Frank was mentioning, he's given us a plan, and he's given us a relationship. And I always focus on that first, because I can't, if there's a plan without a relationship, then the plan is what? It's works. It's something we do because of obligation, we do because of religious, what the religion tells us to do. If there's no relationship, then there's no purpose in the plan. Even the coffee, as an example, the coffee this morning, it was great, but it was at the Gatto's, you know, my friends for many years. So it made the coffee better. You know what I mean? There's a relationship there, you know, and that's the way it is with our call. That's how we get to know. We get to know the way to live by getting to know the one who has given us life. When Jesus says that I am the life, he's our life. He's the abundant life. And we enjoy the relationship, the love he has. The love we have is simply the love he has given us, and it's poured out in Romans 5:5. So the relationship, you know, for me, for the Balkans, how could I possibly have a love for these people? Why should I love people from Kosovo or people from Macedonia? Who are they? What's their history? What's their culture? Why should I care about these people? And honestly, in the flesh, the natural man, I don't. I mean, you know, if we were totally honest, we care about ourselves. We care about what's happening in our lives. But do we care about our neighbor? But because of the spirit that's within us, we do. And sometimes it's even a shock to ourselves that we have this love one for another. But we do. And we love that love. And we love the love that God gives us, the love we receive from the giver. And as it's built up in us and as it is poured into us, it pours to overflowing and it pours out to others. So our plan, even our cross, is only doable when we have the relationship. And even then, everything we do is all by grace. And that's why when I go out onto the mission field, I put together the structure. I make sure the hotels are reserved, and I make sure that we have some type of an itinerary and things like that. But when it comes to what will actually happen, I have no idea. And I don't care, because God is going to be in it. And God is going to make everything that we do to prosper. And he is going to bring us through divine appointments, and he's going to bring in situations that'll just serve his purpose and his plan in our lives. So it's beautiful the way that God works. And that's in this passage in Matthew 16. It talks about this conversation Peter has with Jesus. And in verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." Now that's not good news.
Wow.
Bob, did you do that? That's amazing. But I'm telling you, you amaze me. Thank you, Bob. That's not a nice thing for a friend to tell a friend. You know, it's not good news. And we have news that happens between us that is not good. It's not happy news. It's news that we're like, no, that can't be. We can't do that. That's not, you know, that doesn't sound right. There has to be another way. And if there were, of course, Jesus would have thought it up. But we know that this was the only way. This was the perfect way to save the souls of mankind, was by Christ himself being the sacrifice. Peter couldn't understand that. I mean, even at that point, the Holy Spirit hadn't come. Jesus was teaching them, but they were still very confused as the whole plan of God. And really, when we see in John chapter 15 how Jesus would say that greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, when they began to see the relationship, when they saw that Jesus was their friend and Jesus was going to give himself a ransom for them, that they began to understand that that was the only way that it could work. But at the time, in verse 22, it says that Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be to you." And this is what I want to talk about the Balkans. I hear oftentimes, you can't go into those countries. You can't go to Bosnia. You can't go to Sarajevo. You can't go to Kosovo because of this and this and this, because they're Muslim. You can't go to the Muslim world. You can't openly preach the gospel in the streets because you'll be arrested or you'll be persecuted or you'll be killed. I don't know. Some of you, we were in Sarajevo. Remo was there. Michelle was there. Dennis was there. None of us got killed, right? We came back with the same number we left with, as I recall. I did a count in the bus. I'm pretty sure we were all there. We, as you saw there, we were doing sketchboard in the city square of Pristina, which is the capital city of Kosovo, which is all Muslim. The whole country is Muslim. But when Peter says that, Jesus has to say in verse 23, he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And I have to, from time to time, look at what I'm hearing and seeing and say, wait a minute, where is that coming from? Would God say you can't go to Kosovo? Would God say you can't go to Bosnia and Herzegovina? I don't think he would say that. Could you die there? Sure, you could die anywhere. You don't have to go to Bosnia to die. You can die right here in beautiful Saratoga. It doesn't, but we don't live in fear because it's Satan who would say, you can't go there. You can't go to Europe and preach the gospel. You can't go to the Muslim world and preach the gospel. Really? Would God say that? No. The enemy would say that. Satan says that constantly. No, you got to be careful. You can't just go out on the streets of Saratoga and start handing out tracts and telling these people about Jesus. You can't do that. Really? And I oftentimes have to take these thoughts and these reasonings and these imaginations that are exalting themselves over the plan that God has given me, and I have to keep saying, no, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. We are called and we have to apprehend that which we were apprehended for. And the voice of the enemy tells us to rationalize and say, no, wait a second, it's just too difficult. They're not reachable. They're not open. Oh, it's a hard ground. I hear that all the time about certain countries. Oh, it's a hard ground. It's, what is it, 2018? No, it's a hard ground. The world is a hard ground. The whole earth is a hard ground. Saratoga, is a hard ground. So we say, we're not going to go there. It's hard ground. We're going to a soft ground. What's a soft ground? I don't know. So we just go. We go to the hard ground. And God breaks up that ground. And he rains righteousness on that ground. And we're not going to save every soul in Pristina, Kosovo. But there's one or two. There's somebody there in that sea of humanity who will listen to the message we have and receive Christ. And a soul will be saved. And it will be more than all the world. And it will have been worth the trip. The trip back from Bosnia to Tirana was, I don't know how many, 18 hours or so on a bus. And then we got to a location and we didn't know how to get from northern Albania to Tirana. So we were making phone calls, trying to find a van at almost midnight, trying to get us back home. But I was glad that they were able to experience that because that's missions. Missions is one time we were in Montenegro and the van that we drove to get to Montenegro got stopped at the border. And if we had paid the border guy like 100 euro, he would have let us go through if we paid him a bribe, but we don't really do that. So the van got left at the border and we had to take a taxi into Podgorica. But on the way home, instead of doing that, somebody had a brilliant idea to stand on the side of the road, on the road that goes to the border, and flag down cars with Albanian license plates. And then if somebody had an Albanian license plate, they would let us get in their car and drive to Albania. And it actually worked. But it's not, it's insane is what it is. And it's, and we had our daughter was there and she was maybe 10 or so. So we're flagging down cars in Montenegro to put our little girl into it and drive away. And it worked. So missions is really amazing. So let me just give you some practical update, but we want to get back into the word here. But just to say in closing on this part is that there are 1,000 reasons not to follow Christ and his plan. There are 1,000,000 reasons not to go on the mission field, not to go to Bible college, not to do whatever. But please be careful. Ask yourself, who's saying this. Because what Peter said was not foolish. It was a nice thing to say to his friend Jesus. Hey, whoa, Jesus, what are you talking about? That's a horrible idea. Please rethink this. Really, what Peter was saying was heartfelt for his friend, but it wasn't of God. Even though, and you know, and God and Jesus loved Peter, what he was saying was, what you're saying, Peter, is right from Satan, because Satan doesn't want me to go to the cross. He wants me to stay as far away from that cross as possible. So Jesus was rebuking what Peter was saying. And we have to think, you know, cast down those thoughts and those imaginations and those things that exalt themselves above the plan of God in 2 Corinthians 10:5, I believe it is. Right? Be careful. There are. It's easy to rationalize away a faith walk. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, in fact, I'll read that because I was thinking about this recently. Steps of faith. Because right now, like, you know, we don't know what's happening in our lives. We went to Bulgaria in 2005, on September 11th, 2005, with, we each had three piece of Czech lug, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, around, yeah, 12, 1, 3, 6, around 12 pieces of luggage. We came back 13 years later with 9 pieces of luggage. So we actually lost even more on the mission field of our belongings. But we have no idea what tomorrow brings. We have no idea what the next plan of God for our lives is. Is it back in Balkans? I kind of hope so. Really, I'd kind of hope that I'm back in the Balkans before long. I hate to say this, especially to my grandchildren who I barely know, but they're beautiful. Okay, come on. Montenegro is a great place to raise children. But I don't know. I'm not even absolutely certain where I'm going to have lunch today. So keep us in prayer. We don't know what God's next step for us is, but I'm sure it's going to be glory. It's going to be a lot of fun. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and he should seem to come short of it." And in verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I no longer fear steps of faith. I now fear not taking steps of faith, because there's promises left for us. It's like these, you know, like the breadcrumb trail. We walk down the path of God. He has dropped, you know, as it says in the book of Ruth, he dropped it on purpose. You know, she was gleaning from the fields and he was dropping sheaves down on the ground in front of her on purpose so that she could have the good stuff, really, instead of just what was gleaned from the field. And he does that with us as we walk in his plan, even though we may not know his plan. We walk with him, and he drops these things on purpose. He gives us the blessings, and he answers the questions, and he gives us the understanding on purpose progressively as we go. So we want to be careful that one of those promises that are left for us, that we somehow fall short of it simply because we failed to mix what we heard with faith. So please, as we sit in the services and we take the notes and we hear the messages and we study the Bible, yes, but let's mix it. Let's mix what we've heard with faith and let's put some feet to it and see where God will lead us. And I'm not saying he's going to lead all of you on the mission field, but hey, some of us, why not? Let's just pack it up and go. You know, some of us are called to missions. Some of us, and this church has been great at sending people to Baltimore. I was with Courtney. Courtney's from here, right? Yep. Does anyone, you know Courtney? Everybody know her? This girl's another spark plug on the mission field. She's amazing with her evangelism. And you have Taylor's down there and Joshua. Joshua. And others, I mean, it's amazing how many people that go to Baltimore from this local assembly, get raised up and sent out. I'm one of them, right? I was sitting I don't think in those chairs, but in those brown ones that were over at Lake Hill Road, probably in the dump somewhere. But I was listening. I was listening to Pastor Moore up there talk missions, talk Bible college. And I was like, you know, wide-eyed. And next thing you know, I'm out on the mission field. And maybe God has called you to that. Who knows? It would be wonderful if you could do that. And the ones that have taken even short terms, week, 2 weeks out there, that's special too. And to build up the missionaries, your portion, you know, coming to see us was really wonderful. The DiMatteos were with us too also, and many, many more. So we don't know if God will call us back to the Balkans. I really hope so. I really hope so. I'd love to go to Bosnia. I'd love to be part of a team with my son if God calls him to the mission field. So the missions trip that we took to Bosnia and Herzegovina, it's two words, but it's one country. We went to Ulcin, which is in Macedonia, and we spent 2 days there. It was nice. It was on the beach. We played volleyball. We talked to people about Jesus, and then we played more volleyball, and then we went to the ocean. So missions has also got some perks, and had a great time there. And then we took a overnight bus to Bosnia, to Sarajevo, and I had no idea. Well, I had some idea. I mean, I knew a little bit about the history of the breakup of Yugoslavia. Has anyone studied that at all? It was brutal. It was horrible. And you can see any building that is older than 1995 in Sarajevo has got pockmarks from the return fire. What happened was the Serbians were putting snipers on the roofs of the buildings. They had Sarajevo under siege for 3 years. You couldn't leave your house. And they had people in all of the different intersections, and their job was to shoot anyone that came out onto the streets. And you could see the pockmarks of the return fire of the UN troops and the people from Sarajevo trying to take out the snipers. And they also, it was genocide. You know, tens of thousands of people were murdered simply because of their faith or their ethnicity or whatever they were. It was a horrible situation. But because of it, Bosnia has not been reached by the gospel. And it's like 0.15 or something percentage of Christians in Bosnia. And they're open. Yeah, it's a Muslim country. And you see a lot of burqas, you see a lot of the women with just the eye slits is the only thing you see of their face. Yeah, you see that. But those are, you know, behind all of that, behind those, what do they call those burqas, behind them is a person. You know, you may not see them, and they may even look scary because of the way they're dressed or the guys with the beards. But there are people inside those people. You know, there's souls inside those people. And really, when I look at them, I look at a person who's looking for God. Because if you are that devout to your religion, then you're looking for God. And maybe you can be reached. Maybe you're going to, the Holy Spirit is going to convince them. So when you talk to Muslims, you're talking to a person who is seeking a relationship with God. They have just looked in the wrong direction. You know, I mean, of course, there are religious people. There are religious Muslims, just as there are religious people in the Christian religion who are more focused on the religion than they are on Christ. But there are those in every religion who are looking for answers, and they just haven't realized that the answer is Jesus. The answer is the cross, that there is only one way to the Father, there's only one way to heaven, and it's by faith in Jesus Christ. So we can still minister to these people and tell them the truth. So when I look at the Muslim world, I don't see an unreachable peaceful group. Satan wants me to think that. He wants me to think that you can't go there. We're not going to build a mega church, but there are souls. There is a remnant. There are people who will receive it. People received Christ during our trip to Sarajevo. People received Christ. There are people in heaven that will be in heaven with us from Bosnia because of something that was said by one of the people in the team during that week. That's incredible. And there is more opportunity in Macedonia, in Greece, in, you know, in Bulgaria. I mean, I love, my heart is still in Bulgaria for the people of Sofia and Plovdiv and other places there. So please keep the Balkans in prayer. If God calls me back, the support that we've received financially and in prayer from this church, you know, I mean, I could never, but I know that you would never ask, but I couldn't, you, of course, it is an eternal thing and there's no way to repay, but there is certainly an eternal thanks and gratitude from me, from my family, for all of you who have supported us on the field, who have prayed for us. It's means everything. And it is the difference because we are just flesh and blood. I was thinking of Jonah, how we think of him as a lousy missionary because he was angry and spiteful and he was not happy with the people he was ministering to. But his name actually means dove. And I like Jonah because when Jonah was on the boat and the boat was sinking, and Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the boat, they figured out that he was the man. He was responsible. And he even agreed with them. And he said, yeah, you got to throw me overboard. And they do. And then it says that they prayed to his God. So Jonah has a horrible experience on the boat, nearly kills everybody. They throw him overboard and everybody basically gets saved. I mean, you know, in a certain extent, they're worshiping Jonah's God. So that was his first missionary experience, was to be the guy responsible for the shipwreck or the near shipwreck and getting thrown overboard. Everybody on the ship was worshiping his God. And then he goes to Nineveh and he hates them. And he says this little lame message, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed or something like that. You know, he doesn't want to preach there. He doesn't like these people. He wants them all to burn and die in violent deaths. And they all get saved. The entire, even the cows are fasting. You know, it's amazing. So that's his second sermon. It's about 5 seconds long in the entire city of Nineveh, which was a big city, 3 days' journey through the city. Everybody gets saved. And that's me. And that's us. We are missionaries by the grace of God. It is certainly not our charisma or our public speaking abilities or our amazing gift of persuasion that leads anyone to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the dove that God would use a guy like Jonah and save everybody around him. Use him to get everybody he comes in contact with to worship his God. Even though we would look at him and say, he is the worst missionary. He was really, he had 100% saturation. I mean, he did a great job. And he's in heaven. He was God's man. He didn't like it. He didn't appreciate the things God was doing, but he still did a great work. So Satan would tell us, you're not the right person. You've got too many problems, right? Maybe when you've got this area of your life cleaned up, the parts of your life that are just not stellar, they're not crystal clear. God says, when those are all taken care of, maybe then I can use you. But that's, of course, not the way it works. God says, I will use you. You will be my vessel. I will be the treasure. You will know that I get the glory because you know you. And that's the way it should be. We rejoice in what God does because we know we're Jonah. We're the ones that don't want to go. We're the ones that don't want to talk to that people group. We're the ones that are angry when God, you know, when somebody, you know, responds in a way that we're not comfortable with. We're Jonah, but God is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there's life, and there's life through us. So please, you'll never be ready. Satan will always be giving you great reasons not to follow his plan, whether it's here in New York or whether it's the other side of the world. Satan is always faithful to tell you who you were, who your flesh is, or who you aren't, according to God's, you know, in the light of God's glory. Just say the same thing I say. Get behind me, Satan. You've got no power here. because the power is in the Spirit, and the power is in us regardless of us. The power is of God, and then when the results come, we just thank God, and we know you get the glory. Thank you for even using, you know, the wretches that we are for your work. And then we can say, you know, I know you have to go to the cross. I have to go to the cross. But there is resurrection life on the other side of that cross. So thank you for all your prayers, all your faithfulness to the work that God has been doing in the Balkans. And please pray for the next chapter of our lives. It is the page is blank. We have no idea what the next page is, but it's exciting. And, you know, like I said, I'm more afraid not to walk by faith than I am to walk by faith. I don't want to miss a promise. I don't want one of those sheaves falling in front of me to be missed because I was too focused on something else. So let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for the mission. Thank you for all the missionaries out there in the world, all both with Greater Grace World Outreach and these faithful men and women, and also every missionary that is preaching the gospel, that is going out to seek and to save that which is lost. We pray for their ministries. We pray for their finances. We pray for the fields. Father, we pray that you would give angels charge over them, protect them. Father, we pray for the Balkans, every country there. We pray for the Robins in Turkey. We pray for Pastor Tomas and Pastor Cornell in Serbia. We pray for Tomi and Endri and Vero in Tirana, Albania. Father, we pray for teams in all of those countries. We pray for souls. Raise up laborers. We know that unless you build a house, the laborer labors in vain, and unless you watch the city, the watchman watches in vain. We know that, but there are laborers and there are watchmen, and we pray for the laborers to go out into the fields, and we pray for the watchmen to stay at home and pray that you would save that last soul that is keeping us from the rapture, and that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus, but not until we have received the full reward. In Jesus' name, amen.